Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline, he's our Browns beat reporter. He's Daryl Ryder. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Heard you in the locker room in Baltimore yesterday. Am I not mistaken, am I?
Yeah. No, I was there.
Yep.
Hand account.
How was Corey Coleman's hand, speaking of first-hand account?
Well, he got x-rays, and I don't think it's looking too good, because I think if there was no issue, the Browns would quickly come out and tell us that everything's okay. So, brace for bad news this afternoon when we get to talk to Hugh Jackson.
So, if bad news means he's out like he was last year for 6 weeks, and Josina Anderson from ESPN saying that that's what she's hearing, it's a broken hand, and everybody's assuming it's a broken hand, and he's out for 6 weeks, what do you do? What do you do?
Pray.
I'm looking for more than that.
Start scouring the waiver wire, because right now what they have at receiver is not, I don't think it's getting it done, and I don't think it's going to get it done. Them elevating Rashard Higgins Saturday paid dividends, no question about it, but I just think that his production and what he was able to do, considering he was on the practice squad, is pretty much an indictment of what they don't have at the position. Much like last week, Duke Johnson couldn't play running back because he had to serve as the third receiver on the team. So there's not a lot there. This is part of the process of putting this team together, and they're going to have to go back to addressing that position in a significant way next offseason. And unfortunately, the lack of talent at receiver, in my opinion, also hurts the development of DeShone Kizer. You need to get some guys that can get open and catch some footballs and make some plays and help the quarterback out. That's not to say that Kizer doesn't have room to grow, because he does. But, a big part of the passing game is who you're throwing the football to. And it's my belief and opinion that the Browns still need help there, even though they were able to put together some big plays in the passing game yesterday.
Daryl, any of these names do anything for you? Victor Cruz, Vincent Jackson, Stevie Johnson, Rod Streeter, Doriel Beckham Green.
Not really. I think that, based on their philosophy and what they're trying to do, Jeff, to me it's like a guy like Kayson Williams. He'll probably up next week and get another opportunity. And it's important that, he goes out there and plays better than he did in week one. He chose Higgins over Williams this week because Hugh really liked what Rashard was able to do in practice, and he had a good week, and so they rewarded him. Whereas Kayson, he was deactivated. So I think the logical assumption right now is that Kayson Williams is the guy that will be called upon to kind of sub in there for Coleman in his absence, and hopefully Williams can show some of the flashes that he showed with the Seattle Seahawks that had Browns fans in a tizzy and all excited and hot and bothered when they pulled him off the waiver wire on September 3rd.
Hey, let me ask you this, Daryl. We walk out of week one, we feel good about DeShone Kizer. We feel like, what, this kid looked good against Pittsburgh. I can't wait to see him next week. Well, we got to next week, and what I saw week two was a rookie compared to week one with a guy who was dealing with an issue. What did you see, and what do we need to see down the road from DeShone Kizer?
Well, there's going to be days like this, and that's, I think, what people needed to understand. The Browns went into this game with the understanding that the Ravens were probably going to present them with the most difficult test of the season, especially from a defensive standpoint. You look at that side of the ball. I mean, you saw it yesterday. Everything you needed to see. Ravens were all that in a bag of chips on that side of the ball. And Kizer did not throw it well yesterday. There's no question about it. The three interceptions were all poorly thrown balls. I can't, on any of those plays, fault the intended target on those. That's on Kizer, the quarterback. You know, the first one's a fastball. He's throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball to Duke Johnson on a simple route that's coming out of the backfield that's out in front of him. That gets goes off Duke's hands, gets picked off. You know, he misses Rashard Higgins a couple of times in the fourth quarter on poorly thrown footballs. So those are on him, and those are all learning experiences, and that is just all part of this process of, as Hugh Jackson likes to say, raise a young quarterback. You know, they got to go through, look at all the mistakes that were made yesterday, and, you know, try and get them corrected in time for the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday.
Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us. Daryl, you just mentioned the Colts. I said earlier in the show, did you expect them to beat the Steelers in week one? Our answer was no. Did you expect them to go to Baltimore and win in week two? My answer was no, hoping they'd play like they did against Pittsburgh more competitively, but they didn't. I said I'll get excited about things if they get to week five and they're not at least 2-3, because I think you have three very winnable games coming up. And if you're not 2-3, if you're 1-4, heaven forbid if you're 0-5, then there are some real issues that are going to have to be addressed on this football team. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I would, because and I wrote this on Saturday even before the Ravens game. You know, independent of the outcome of what happened in Baltimore, that there's opportunity for the Browns to win games now. You know, you get the first two out of the way. One was good. One was bad. And now you can hopefully in these next 3 weeks against, you know, the Colts, the Bengals, the Jets, if you can win two of those three, you're in good shape. And things are going well. Even if you just win one of those games, you at least get that goose egg out of the win column there. So there are opportunities here. Listen, the Colts don't have Andrew Luck, all right? That is a huge, tremendous loss for them, and their defense isn't that great. The Bengals are basically the dumpster fire of the AFC North this year. They already fired their offensive coordinator. Their offense hasn't scored an offensive touchdown yet. Greg Williams' defense should be able to feast on them. And then the New York Jets fly into town on October 8th. They're trying to get the number one pick in the draft. That's the only way I can describe what they're trying to do. I have no idea what their organizational plan is. Unlike where the Browns, you know what the plan was. I have no idea what the Jets are trying to accomplish.
And they're well on their way, Daryl.
Yeah, they are. And congratulations to them in New York. It's a good year for the Jets. They're hitting all their goals of losing. The Browns should win that football game. The Houston Texans will be an interesting game after that because of, Deshaun Watson, who I thought looked pretty good. Wasn't great, but he looked pretty good against the Bengals in his debut. The Titans, followed by the trip to London with Minnesota, I think will be tough. And then you get into the bye week. So there's some opportunities in here before we get to mid-November for the Browns to win some games and feel good about it. Because I think that's the only way fans are even going to feel good. I mean, everyone's jumping off a bridge, last night, because the Browns didn't play well and it was an ugly game and there just wasn't a whole lot to feel good about. But the only way Browns fan is going to feel good about their football team is if they start winning. And unfortunately, when you're still in this, you're only in year two of this big picture 3 to 5 year building program that the franchise is in. It's a tough time to be a fan. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm on the flight last night back from Baltimore, and there's a bunch of Browns fans on it. It's amazing how well, the team travels on the road and that. So hopefully the Browns can win a couple of these games coming up, and fans can kind of feel a little bit better about the direction the organization is in. Because if they keep losing games, even though you, me, we talk about every week what they're trying to accomplish, what they're doing, they keep losing these games, fans just, they're not going to buy into the program or into the philosophy.
Give me your winners from yesterday's game. Give me something. I know you want to talk a little positive. Give me guys that walk out of yesterday's game going, I can feel good about that. Or the team can say, I can feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, on the website, I did, and I'm trying to do this every week just, because I don't want every article that I write to be, a pile on, especially after a loss. So I try and do every week now the good and the bad from the game last night. And one of the really good things from the game yesterday was Rashard Higgins. The fact he was on the practice squad, he's elevated, leads the team in targets, leads the team in receptions, leads the team in receiving yardage. I thought that was a great performance. I know some people want to disagree with me. I think the running game was a little better yesterday. It was certainly better than what you got in week one. And when we're talking about incremental progress, I think that the run game definitely qualifies. They didn't run it nearly enough. They ran it less, actually, than they did in week one, but they got more yardage than they got in week one as well. Isaiah Crowell was able to pop for a 17-yard run. Duke Johnson, hey, actually got to play running back yesterday. He had a 16-yard run but only got four carries. I think Hugh Jackson needs to run the ball more. The problem is, what also needs to happen is they need to stop getting penalties and sacks and getting into second and long all the time, and then maybe Hugh Jackson can feel good about running the ball more. So I do think that the run game was a little better. And the big plays, you know, they were able to get some big plays. Higgins, a 35-yard catch. The Valve had that 49-yard catch and run. Duke Johnson with that incredible, 30-plus yard one-handed catch, which I think has the potential to be like the catch of the season. David Njoku got his first NFL touchdown and got to, you know, jump in the air and do his chief spike that he likes to do. So there were some positive things, but it's very hard to see those when you're talking about what happened with DeShone Kizer and the fact that, they lost by two touchdowns.
Hugh Jackson at what time today, Daryl, and we can hear it here on The Fan?
2:30, and like I said, brace yourself for some bad news on Corey Coleman's hand. It's coming.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much.
You got it.
Thanks,
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.